CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it. I am MKT. It's the GCS takeover for the very last time, perhaps in 2022. You know, who knows what happens moving forward. Perhaps Gareth Cliff decides to take a yoga course in India, wear tighter pants. You don't know what's going to happen. It's a new time, you know. In this pandemic, you've got to be open to everything. I hope wherever you are in the world, you've woken up and you're having the best day of your life. So on this Friday, I'm not alone, but before I introduce you to, I think esteemed might be a little strong for the people that are with me. So they are people who are alive that will be with me. And I do like all of them. So that's going to be cool. But before we start, I just wanted to say, you know, in every new year, so I know people divide their lives by years, but I hope for this year, whatever it is, people call it the human spirit, the human soul or whatever. I hope you find the strength to go after it with everything you've got, because as we've seen over the last 2-3 years, the world is moving into a different place. So and things happen, whether we like it or not, things happen. So go after it with everything, whatever it may be, and I hope you achieve your goals. Those people I was talking about, the very first one, an incredibly Portuguese human being, one of the kindest human beings I've ever had the pleasure to work with, Paulo Dias, a man who is in a new romantic situation, which has changed the game for everybody at Cliff Central in his life, to the point where he's now rocking a brand new hairstyle. Homo Lemo is with us. And then, of course, to a lady who'll be experiencing nuptials very, very soon after passively, aggressively bullying her partner into it, the one and only Lebang Khoshan. How are you doing, guys? What do you think of my intro?
Good morning.
What did you guys think?
Quite the intro.
Yeah, I thought I'd...
Impressive.
When he said the kindest person I know, I was like, oh, is somebody else on here? That'd be nice to meet somebody new. I like new friends.
I was surprised how my relationship...
Just removed yourself.
Like how my relationship status influenced my hairstyle. Like, hey.
You know what's actually, what's really funny about the hairstyle thing is, was it yesterday or the day before, Manila, we were speaking about changing hairstyles and dramatic, you know, going bald or adding color and how it's attached to some sort of thing happening. And when I first saw Aaron yesterday at the studio, I was like, dude, that hair color, it must be love. Definitely must be something popping.
I was right.
Yeah, you're right. Aaron, it's
not even close.
Don't let the haters hate, because you found love now, obviously. I don't know what that song was. I found love in a special place. Obviously, you found love wherever hopeless that is.
Place. Hopeless.
Sorry? Oh, hopeless.
It was hopeless.
Hopeless.
Rihanna said hopeless.
You've got to be careful with music here, because LeBun's got I think it looks like a Grammy. There's Grammys behind her there. And then... Aaron, if you're listening on the podcast on this, I mean, there is a keyboard. Aaron's going to go full Stevie Wonder in about 30 minutes. I hope there's like a musical accompaniment there. He's got the weirdest flex with the... Why the keyboard? He's just going to turn around and twinkle some ivories. We're going to do like improv
stuff. All I just got to do is...
Yeah. Like Jamie Foxx.
Morning show, the takeover. Give me a word. Give me a color.
It's going to be me having a special, a Jamie Foxx special right here.
That would be nice.
Yeah, Aaron,
but for the viewers, you know, and the listeners, their ears, guys, I'll be playing absolute trash if I did.
So. Yeah. Who cares? You're in love now. Yeah, and you're in love. Who cares?
You've got purple hair.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that is it. Piano schmano.
You're in love. You know, people that are in relationships think they're better than people immediately, and you must embrace it. Don't try and fight them. Oh, sorry.
That's a grand assumption.
No, well, it is, though. If you're going to do pushback, let me tell you, you know, there's nothing worse than getting around. It's why I refuse to hang out with more than two couples at the same time, because you're in an immediate spider web, right? Because the guys all of a sudden feel like it's their time in front of ladies to go, oh, you'll never be a real man till you caring for a lady. Like, no, pal, we're happy for you. You don't need to be telling us how much happier than us you are. Like, be happy in your situation. You don't need to get us into your cult. We're happy that you're in a relationship, but you don't need to now be above us. Like, we all know couples do.
These are the people you hang out with. These are your circles.
No, you know
what occurs.
You know why you'll never know
just call
it.
A relationship. relationship a cult? Let's, I feel like, bruh, we just overlooked that whole lot. Like,
no, you'll never see it because you're in the relationship. You know how no one who's ever, let's say, cheating on their girlfriend ever sees themselves as the wrong person. They're always going to go, you know how life goes. So you in the relationship will never say, oh, he's got a point. We are quite annoying when there's three of us. You'll always go, no, that's not how, I'm not like that.
Yeah, you know, for someone who's not in a relationship, you sure do have a lot of, you know, things to say about relationships. I'm quite intrigued. Like, every day when we come here and we have a chat about a relationship, it's always you. It's always you. I think that's good for you. You know, be out there observing. Go you, Mlelo. Go you.
Thank you.
And is there any kind of experience that you'd like to, you know, share upon us, especially us who are currently newbies in this relationship game?
What's that?
Like, experience, Nyana, any advice? Since I feel like you've been on the ball when it comes to all things relationship.
Oh, good luck. I say good luck to everyone in relationships. It's why whenever people say to me, oh, I'm getting married, I never say congratulations. I say all the best. Because congratulations isn't the right thing to say to somebody who's about to get married, I believe. I always say all the best. Because, yeah, what I'm saying.
Because.
Ah, well, you're in it now. You're in it now.
Mulelo, you're wearing such an incredibly interesting shirt. I'm curious. It looks like, you know, those Asian tattoos that people often get after a long night and they end up waking up in the morning and regretting it because they have no clue what they've just tattooed on their bodies. But now it's a whole shirt with, you know, what must be some deep motivational sentence, I'm hoping. Do you have any idea what's written on your shirt?
Lebang, I'm glad you asked that. When I went to the shop, so I don't know if you know, you can use Google Translate to translate things visually. So I use that. Yeah. So I always do that with this kind of situation so that I'm not that guy. Oh, bro, I got a tribal Chinese tattoo when my uncle died, and it actually means fat pig eater, you know what I mean? Instead of warrior of the sun. No, so it does have quite a positive message in Japanese. Yeah, so I'm not that guy.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not that guy.
What is the message?
Well, it's like, be the warrior you want to be. Or like, that's the English translation. Yeah. So it's a samurai thing.
Interesting.
Then I went and looked it up and I was like, yeah, no, isaizi amle.
I know, that's your size. I'd like for you to post a picture of yourself in that shirt. It's quite something. I think we'd enjoy that as the public.
Is it a shirt or is it a hoodie?
Yeah, no, it's a hoodie it's a hoodie that's slim fit.
It's a hoodie.
Yeah, it's a hoodie that's slim fit. Yeah, as well. And it's that athletic material. Yeah. But you can't be carrying extra weight if you're going to wear this thing. This is for people who spend time in the gym. This exposes everything. Every single extra little lump you might have, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be exposed. So I'll stand a little bit so you can see it, that this is not for everyone. You got to be that guy that's putting in that work. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's that. So listen, 2022, Paolo, I just wanted to ask you something. Obviously, Paolo Diaz, massive Manchester United fan. Nothing good has happened in the last 2 or 3 years. Obviously, they've started already on that note this year, Paolo. And for those people who don't know, if you're a football fan, your football team affects your mood. It affects your entire life. And it sounds crazy to some people, and I can't explain what it is. Grown men become children. So, Paolo, is 2022 going to be any good for you, considering how much affection you attach to Manchester United?
It's going to be great because I've cancelled them. I'm done with them. I've decided I'm no longer investing emotional material in them.
Chose peace.
Yeah, I did. I chose peace, which I very much doubt that Mbulelo's shirt says anything about being a warrior. I think it says contents are maybe hot, or objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear. I very much doubt that he Googled anything about being a warrior. And I feel that I gave my childhood years, my teenage years, my early 20s, my early 30s, and most of my 30s to Manchester United. And it's just enough now. So I'm going to be a spoiled brat, like a trust fund kid, who, when he opens the keys to that trust fund, there's only millions rather than billions, and goes, well, this just isn't good enough for me anymore. So I choose peace. I choose, and I'm going very Buddha-like, and just finding better things in my life than football teams.
That's
where are you on the league, on the log again, like seventh place or something?
I don't care. I don't care where we're.
She's removed from all that mess. I'm sorry.
I've removed
you
from
know, In times like this, choosing peace is the wisest decision. I agree.
Exactly.
With you.
Tough times never last, and neither does your affection for a football team, because you just turn it on and off.
Though. Hey, they're lasting, though. As a Man United fan, hey, they are lasting tough times, eh?
Also, the fact that Mbolelo and I do a sports show together is that a bad Manchester United is good for business. So actually, the longer they stay bad is better for us, because nobody wants to hear about them doing well. They want to hear about them doing badly. So I've got to be cynical here and go, what do I want? Do I want a better performing sports show that affects me personally, or a sports team that couldn't care less about me? So that's what I'm about. I'm about the content and the memes and the vibes and the hate.
Just vibes.
The vibes. It's just vibes.
Just vibes.
Well, there we go, ladies and gentlemen, setting the tone for politics. It's a tough times never last. Lebang, I wanted to ask you something. I should have asked you this yesterday. Damn it. So if you're not on YouTube, please do come and join us, Cliff Central. The place you're in looks like a place for learned people. I mean, what is that? A study? Is that just like a room in your house? It looks incredible.
Dude, I'm a learned individual.
No doubt.
Yes, Lebang, learned individual, Khosana. That's the full sentence. Yes, this is the study in my family home. This is where I spent time studying, doing homework. So, like, behind me is literally, like, years and years of stuff. My mom being a teacher, my dad being an accountant, my brother's doing his finance stuff, my other brother doing his finance stuff, my mark. It's, like, just years of knowledge behind me. So
I could see there was a teacher in that house, because I haven't seen an Arch Lever file since maybe 1836, and I'm seeing a few of those. I was like,
She taught Sesotho in Soweto, like many, many, many years ago. She also taught a couple of other things, of which I can't remember right now, but like, she was knee deep in that. I just remember being a little kid and helping her like mark papers and stuff, and like also having to be really, really good in my grades as well, because my mom was a teacher. So yeah, I'm very, very lucky to have such hardworking parentals.
Were you in the school that your mom taught at?
No. I was not.
Oh, okay.
I did go visit her once at work, like that whole bring your child to work day thing. And it was quite eventful. It was very, very different, because she taught in a school in Soweto called Progress. And it was very, very different back then to the schools that I was put in. I was like, whoa, what? This is hectic. Yeah. It's like, you know, huge difference in the schooling in South Africa, like major. It's quite an eye-opening thing, but yeah, I'll actually invite you to the study one day, Mulele. I think you'd enjoy it. There's a lot going on here behind me. It's like golf trophies, because my dad's like a huge like golfer as well, so you'd enjoy it. Just, you know, take you on a bit of a tour of the study.
Yeah, all right. I don't know, I love it that much, but you know, interesting to see an Arch Lever file. And no, shout out to your mom, because I've always wondered,
you ever catch your finger in an Arch Lever file?
Oh, you're triggering us here, dog. Yes.
You know, it's got that. You ever just like, it just catches the tip, just the tip of your finger. And you're like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing. Why would they invent such things?
100%.
The ones that had a quick snap. Some had quick snaps.
Yeah.
The slow ones, that's your fault. That's on you. The quick snaps, that's just science.
And they must have discontinued them.
They did. And funny, if it catches your finger in a biology file or a science file, then that's even, there's irony in there.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? And then they also had the things, some of them got that little thing that you can put over so the holes don't tear.
Yes.
Punched holes.
Yes, yeah.
You know, those things are like the guillotine blades. They'll cut your hands as well. So you've got the dual threat of it snapping closed and cutting your hands on the little hole protector. Of course, hole protector. So what they call it?
Whatever it is.
Look, it's traumatic.
100%. And the thing about that kind of pain, right? I remember once a friend describing pain to me after he dropped, like you know, those massive shower doors, those ones that are proper, the Stapura glass ones, not these cheap things that they sell us this day. So he had that, and he opened the shower, and it must have fallen off the hinge, but it fell on his toe. And that pain reminds me of the Arch Lever. You know when you feel such pain? That you feel like the loneliest person in the world, because you're so alone, and you're now obviously in the fetal position. The pain is so incredible. That Arch Lever pain is that pain, because you can't scream. It's just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to obviously cut my finger off now. And only I'm here to feel this. You know, screaming doesn't help. Somebody comes. Are you okay? You don't know what I just went through. This Arch Lever has just ruined my life. So shout out to us who are above the age of 60, who know what an Arch Lever file is, all of us.
Yeah, Aaron's like, what are they talking about?
He's like, what is this? They just put it on my tablet.
Unrelatable content.
It's like, if you make it, but like, if you make it through school without like major wounds and scars, because school is just a cesspit of like violence and dangerous objects. Compasses, you know, with the compass with the little the thing you draw the circle, that point, that's one. Mm-hmm. Steel rulers, desks, flip lid desks, that's a huge problem. Just generally, the school bags, they're heavy. So if you make it through school without major wounds, injuries, Michael De Broglie disability claims, you've done well. You've cracked that code.
And also...
And you know, like the school bags these days have really evolved. Now, like, schools are making it compulsory for these kids to have these massive, what is like a travel bag, but it's not like material. It's like a box that is just heavy and bulky. And the schools say your kids have to have that rolling bag. Can you imagine a bunch of kids just like running down a freaking corridor, all rolling their bag, trying to rush into class? Someone is bound to get hurt. Sounds like a massacre.
Rather corruption then, because I had like one book that for like three modules and well three subjects and then stationery. I didn't do the whole I had every single book thing like.
And then that you end up with purple hair.
That's what
we want. If it's a gradual progression, or if it's just,
these are questions you have to ask.
And Aaron, you know, it's a lovely Friday morning.
Well, Aaron set himself up.
I feel the right to comment on people's hair because I don't have it. So I'm going, you know what? You have all the choices you could do. And Aaron, I'm not talking to you directly now. I'm just talking to people who are like,
subtle sub.
Okay. No, just people who make bad haircut choices. It's like, you know, you get the guys who got like the front mullet and then the little bit of a mullet and they got like shaved lines. And you go, of all the haircut choices you could make, you went with that one. Like, I've got haircut choices. It's like, man, I don't have one. And like, you walk into a barber and you go, all the things I could do with my hair, this is what I choose to do. It's like, I feel I have the right to comment on that. It feels my duty, actually. So, Aaron, this isn't aimed at you. This is just to bring up the conversation. If I could have purple hair, I probably wouldn't. I can have a purple scalp. But it's just going, I feel it's my duty to go, I've seen the other side. I know how this ends. And I'm just here to comment on it and just guide.
It's the same with me and relationships. I totally understand. And just to finish off on that school conversation, right, is that what you guys haven't spoken about. So, Aaron, long, long ago in a land far, far away, there used to be something called a chair bag. And that chair bag used to hold sandwiches from 60 dinosaur eras ago. And that is the most dangerous thing in a school. I don't know how more kids didn't get sick because the amount of green sandwiches that got pulled out of chair bags. Shout out to those who know.
A chair bag. Completely wiped that thing out of my memory because of its grossness.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've thought of it in the however many years I've been out of primary school. My God, the chair bag.
A chair bag. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter was actually talking about hers yesterday and she was getting all the stuff ready for school next week. And she was saying, well, Maya said, well, look, this is your last year of having a chair bag because when you go to junior high, there's no chair bag. So I'm taking mine with me. I'm going, look, I don't care. I'll be the only kid with the chair bag. And I wonder if it's the sandwich thing.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know what? This is good. You know what's the terrible part of the chair bag is when you felt somebody ruffling in your chair bag behind you.
Yes.
It's the same thing as when somebody's – when you're wearing a backpack and somebody's going through your backpack. It's the most invasive thing. It's like, why are you doing? It's like they're ruffling around inside an orifice. So it's like backpacking chair bag. And you felt like David Boyle behind you, like fiddling in your chair bag. Oh, God, what is he doing? What's he putting in there? Rather take something out than putting something in. Because you know anything that's going in from behind you. So, like, there's nothing more invasive.
Yeah.
It's like a proctologist in your chair bag.
Your chair bag is an extension of who you are. Well, for the time you're in that chair, this is a part of you and you like morph and become one with it. It's like standing in a line at Home Affairs and someone's like hovering over your neck and breathing on top of you. Just get away from me. What are you doing here? Oh, man, chair bags.
But they're touching your bum. So they're doing that. but they've just got a finger on your bum. Not, it's just on your bum. Oh. Just one finger. That's exactly what someone going through a chair bag is. Yeah,
I'm just getting your maths wrong.
I'm getting Insta maths. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're in my hole. You're in my space. Get out of my sack, please.
Get your own sack to fiddle with. This is mine.
Please, fiddle with the sack in front of you.
Incredible. Oh, man. Peter van der Heeren says, I was in the same school where my mom was a teacher. Massive social lessons for teenage me. I can only imagine the trauma of having a teacher be your mom. So shout out to the, but I understand teachers, their children get discounts at the school. So, I mean, there is that playoff if you're a teacher, like, if, especially if you had one of these ridiculous private schools where, like, only, I don't know, Donald Trump can afford to send his kids. If you're a teacher and you can get free education for your kids, then I totally get it. Because let me tell you something. Private school kids are the worst human beings in the world for teachers to have to teach. Facts. They've never heard the word no in their lives.
Having your mother as a teacher at the school, being the kid, also comes with a whole lot of shit. Because all the other kids are now like, oh, there's Mang Mang. They're basically just come across as like a wimp. Like, you're just a loser because your mom is here every day and you have to deal with her like 24/7 at school, at home. And like, if you get into some trouble, you can just run to mommy to fix it. I think it's just traumatic. I may be wrong, but I just feel like it's a lot. It's too much. There needs to be like a bit of a rule here where it's like, hey, you know, like, ship your kid off somewhere else. It's just too much pressure. Cause when they get out of school and they get into the real world, it's like, mommy, where you at?
I feel like it's also worse if your mom is like that strict teacher, like that everyone hates, because now everybody automatically hates you by association.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't be a child. You know what I mean? If you dare make a mistake, they're like, ah, ma'am, you're like this to us. What about him?
What about? Yep.
Yeah. No, that's
you don't get invited to people's houses. You're just not the cool kid because you're going to tell your mom everything. And then it's just like, it's a high risk to be involved with the kid whose mom is part of the school. It's just too high risk.
No, 100%. Simpium Tetua says, I remember chair bags. We had those in primary school. Thanks, Mbulelo, for making me feel old. Just want to address that one, Simpium. No one can make you feel old. You are old. That is the truth there. So, oh,
wild. Simpiwe is not even 26. She's a baby.
By Instagram standards, you know, by 22, you're old. 22, you're old these days.
Fair.
Khomolemo, what you got to say there about Simpiwe?
Look, shout out to her. She's my home girl. Hey, time, eh? She's older than me, technically.
Oh, wow.
And now I'm 26.
Have you ever told her that she's old? Is this you breaking it to her that sisters?
Look,
it's additional time. Referee's optional time now.
She's 20 with some change, okay?
Okay. So what are you saying?
Leave it there.
So, no, but what are you saying? I mean, old for what, Aaron? What sort of...
No, I'm not saying she's old. Nah.
I mean,
Levan was like, she's not even 26. And I was like, well, hold on.
Oh, so she is 26. Yeah. But after that, I said she's still a baby because technically, like, this is like where she's at. She's still very, very young. She's definitely not old.
Sounds like Aaron saying she's in referee's optional time. Oh, man,
it sounds like he's saying her expiry date is arriving.
That's what I'm saying.
Your chest.
Yeah, like Aaron.
I feel like y'all are putting words in my mouth.
All right, well, why don't you say what you were saying then? We won't put words in your mouth. You're a man with purple hair and you can speak for yourself. What are you saying about Simpiwe's age being 26?
That she is not that young anymore, but she's not old either.
Okay.
All right. You still count as youth up until the age of 40 in South Africa on paper.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, if you're in the ANC 45, if you're in the ANC 45, it's still youth, yeah. If you're in
youth.
So, I'm not sure about Paolo, but like all of us here, we are still youth.
Paolo's youth, guys. Paolo, you're youth, aren't you?
I'm a geriatric millennial. I don't care for being young. Being older is better than being young. I got to tell you honestly, it's like as you get older, I'm 42 in a month's time. Yeah, I'm 42 in exactly a month's time. And that thing about youth is wasted on the young is so true, because you spend your whole youth worrying about being young and establishing yourself what other people care. And as when I was young, I thought, I don't care what anybody says about you. Until you get to an age where you really don't care what anyone says about you, then you're like, oh, I actually cared a lot what people say about me. So I'm in this really nice, in your 40s, you're in this really nice sweet spot of about 15 to 18 years until you get into casual racism. Because then you start, like, once you hit your late 50s, then you just start saying weird, like, off-color racist and bigotry stuff.
That's true.
So, but I'm, and then nobody wants to talk to you. So then you become a man out of time. So I think I'm in the total sweet spot now of going, like, I've got it. I feel good. I don't care what anyone says. 20 years time, I'm going to be a casual racist or a casual bigot. And so I've just got to enjoy this time in between.
It is true, though. It is, especially
in the bung or shop.
Yeah, like, Mulelo's loving this. I'm just sitting here like, oh.
No, but it's true, though. Like, especially old men, like around 60, they just start saying anything. Like, she's, if you're 40 or like 38 and you go, oh, wow, that's a beautiful woman. And then a 6-year-old go, oh, jeez, that's a tasty piece of, like, they say things like that. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah, they're out of pocket. They're definitely out of pocket. Because like, they obviously, the clock is ticking.
So I just want to get this right. I just want to get this right.
Go, yeah.
So, Paolo, you're basically saying that's who you might become.
It's inevitable.
You know what you're saying?
It's inevitable. Like anybody, and it's not just race. It's about bigotry. You just reach an age where you go, I don't care what I'm saying. I'm going to say what I want to say. I say what I think. I say what I think about that person. I want to say what I think. I'm just going to say what I think. And sometimes it might not be the right thing to say. You're just going to say it.
Yeah.
See, it's all this years of going, because people stop caring about what you're saying as you get older. Because when you're the youth, you've got the voice, you've got the opinion. As you get old, no one cares. You go, well, no one cares. No one's going to hear me.
That's very, very true. But the internet does not forgive. We'll finish off on this one. Dude 69.
I hope I don't become that person. But who knows?
But it's inevitable.
Yes, let's hope not. Let's hope not.
To better people than me.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. I mean, it's a, you know, we are what we are. And it's not just Paolo. Every, I can't speak for women, but men after about 62, they inevitably become that guy.
They just become grosser and grosser.
Yeah. So shout out to those still experiencing their best years. Look out for it. 65, it'll hit you. Dude 69 says, talking about bags, I'm so surprised this morning, or I was so surprised this morning as I saw a dog being walked by its human with both his balls. That is a pretty surprising thing now. Like, because people...
Yeah?
Yeah, because...
Elaborate, please.
Explain.
Okay, so what people do now is they do something called neutering their dogs, right? Because as yes, so most dogs actually, if you think about it, when was the last time you saw even a Rottweiler with just massive kahunas, right? Because what people do now is they neuter them. And there's a pretty big thing now. Because I know with Rottweilers, you can't even chop their tails off anymore. I believe that's illegal now. If you remember, Rottweilers used to have just the nub at the back. So you're not allowed to do that anymore. But now we've gone, take his balls. That guy's aggressive. So that is an interesting one.
With burbles, though.
Sorry?
With burbles, I think they still cut their tails off.
Oh, really? But those things are bears. Burbles.
Also, that means my side of the world, they're not about the neuter thing, because the people walking their dogs, they still have...
You've been seeing some balls, my bro. You've been seeing some balls.
Everybody just have... All the dogs have their balls intact.
A lot of vets and that won't treat dogs won't treat dogs if they haven't been neutered or spayed. So I think it's like a requirement. Like a lot of places won't take your dog in if he's still got a sack. So the sack is empty. It's like
I'm not trying to sound like those woke kids, but like, guys, isn't that wrong on like an ethical level?
What's that?
Is the reason?
Like you won't treat a dog that hasn't got its balls chopped off. Like,
that's like
on an ethical level, isn't that?
It's messed up, bro.
Well, if you went to Honest to Port,
dogs without balls are still dogs.
Yeah, that's it. All dogs matter. All dogs matter at the end of the day.
All dogs matter, bro.
All right, well, one of the most difficult degrees that mankind's invented so far, veterinary sciences. You've got to be like the next level smart. If you went to Honest to Port and you have not had a human existence, because if you know a vet, by the way, they are in class from when the sun comes up to when the sun comes up again for 7 years. They don't know human beings. They don't know anything outside of a classroom and treating horses largely. I mean, listen, Honest to Port students, if you are here with with us, let us know. Why don't people treat dogs with testicles? Massive balls. Lisa Stryker, or it could be Stryker. I hope I'm saying this right. 2022, I'm trying to be more sensitive. We'll see how long that lasts, giving it till February. Some dog breeds have been genetically modified to have no tails, and they're actually born with no tails. Boston Terrier, for example. Lisa, that's a great point there. So not all short, nubby tails are human cruelty. Listen, I want to move on to somebody who maybe some people think should be neutered. Some people think he's a hero. I don't know if you guys have seen the Novak Djokovic situation. For those who don't know, Novak Djokovic, it's clear he's the greatest tennis player of all time, right? And I'm a big Roger Federer fan, so it offends me every time I say it. But Novak is going to have more titles. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. They've got the same amount of titles now, and Novak's got 5 years left. And the great Sir Alex Ferguson once said of Novak Djokovic, of course, the greatest center back to ever play in the Premier League, a guy called Nemanja Vidic, was good friends with this guy. And Alex Ferguson said in his book, if I could get Wayne Rooney to work as hard as that guy, because Novak is known as the hardest working tennis player, and it's not even close. And they say, if I could get Wayne Rooney to work as hard as that guy, we'd have the greatest player of all time. So Novak, well known across the sporting circles as the guy. But he is now saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated, and whatever so I want to be clear. My position is everybody should get vaccinated, and it shouldn't be a choice. But okay, we live in a time where everybody has a Twitter account. Go ahead. Everyone's a scientist now, and they know everything. Novak has said, I don't want to get vaccinated, but what he's also said, I want to play the Australian Open. And we know Australia are going back to their roots essentially now, built as a jail. Now it's becoming a COVID jail. It is a whole situation. You cannot move in Australia unless you've been triple vaccinated or whatever it is. And now Novak obviously tried to get an exemption, a COVID exemption for not having obviously been vaccinated. But I still want to play. I'm the guy. I want to come break the record and get my 10th Australian Open. And oh my God, what has happened? So he got, so I don't know if you guys have seen the story, but Novak got to Australia. He thought it was all clear. He thought the Tennis Association had cleared him and given him the exemption. Australia had given him the exemption. He gets to the airport. Now there's a whole situation, public outcry. Now he has to go and quarantine at a quarantine facility. Apparently, if social media is to be believed, it's a quarantine facility where they use sort of immigrants, those that are still waiting for papers or, these types of people that are waiting in Australia that go and stay there as well. And Novak is now staying there. I would imagine he's in probably the nicest suite you can have. So I don't know what the situation is with this guy. If you remember, Novak Djokovic at the beginning of COVID went on like a world tour. He was just like, I don't care, I'm doing this. And his claims are there's a medical, he's got a serious medical condition. That's why he can't, he doesn't want to get the vaccine. So, holy smokes, this guy trying to burn the world down, huh? I don't know if you guys have seen it.
He applied for an exemption. Like, what in the privilege? Like, I'm stuck there. Like, sorry, I don't feel like getting vaccinated, whatever his reasons are. So please count me out, but allow me to continue like living. Like, no, man. No, that's a bit bollocksy, dude. And the fact that, so now he's being quarantined with a space where they put immigrants. Like, what's the, so? I'm just trying to understand, like, the, you know, like, so?
But
he is definitely a human being.
But people are saying Novak Djokovic is a warrior for those that are fighting against the autocracy. I'm like, what is going on here, is my opinion. Like, he's a what? He's a hero fighting against the conspiracy, some people are saying. And these are verified journalists, some of them. Like, there's people saying, no, he's a hero fighting against.
I'm like, he's pushing the anti-vax movement. He's working hard to instill the anti-vax movement.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Applying for, yeah, I mean, people do anything these days.
Paolo, you seen this guy?
So I think the bigger thing about sportsmen and being vaccinated, the picture's a lot broader than like Djokovic, I think, is that, and you see it across many sports, is Kyrie Irving in the NBA, who's like going to war with the NBA. There's right across the Premier League, loads of players unvaccinated. Italy and France have just passed a mandate. You cannot play in their leagues unless you're double vaccinated. And I think the thing that sticks to people more about Djokovic and Lebung, rightly to your point about privilege, goes that so many people lost jobs, couldn't earn, couldn't do what they love doing, And for some people, it's playing social sports during the pandemic, but sportsmen could. And they were allowed to, their money wasn't cut, their salaries weren't cut, their endorsements weren't cut. Everybody got what they got before, and they're going to get what they get after, and they'll get more and more and more and more. Yet they want to sit there, and sportsmen live in a bubble. They don't live in our world. And elite sportsmen like Djokovic, since 11, 12 years old, has been told, you are special. You, the rules of the normal world don't apply to you. Why do you think 20 years later they start manifesting like this, of where I can go anywhere in the world, and rightly so, he's got a history of doing this. So I just believe tennis maybe is a little bit different because it's not a team sport, but I believe that you have a service to your community. When you represent a team or a sports or a sports institute, you are giving something to people and you owe it to the people. You are frontline, you're representation, and you owe it to your teammates, your sponsors, your fans. It's your body, and your contracts say, I need to keep my body in the best condition all the time, right? And surely being vaccinated mandates that and falls into that. And if you don't want to be vaccinated, that is a dereliction or goes against the terms of your contracts, and your sponsors and advertisers and teams and clubs should start saying, that's fine, we're docking you. And if our game gets suspended or matches get suspended or tournaments get called off because you were found to bring this into the tournament, we're docking you. We're going to punish you. And if you want to not be vaccinated, you have to work separate to the team. You have to cover your own travel expenses. You have to cover your own hotel stays. It just goes, this thing about sportsmen, and it gets into the Manchester United thing that we mentioned earlier, just about sportsmen who live in a bubble. And we go, you know what? Enough is enough. We've all suffered. We've all had the worst. We're actually turning to you for a bit of a release, and yet now you're being a douchebag about it. It's like you owe us something. And I'm into this. If you're an elite sportsman, you belong to the public. You sign over your rights. And I'm sorry, it might not be popular, but you're no longer a human. You're a product, and you're there for my entertainment and my free time. And it just goes, like, you've had the best. You've lived in this bubble. You've got away with everything. You're earning a fortune. Plus, you have your health, your elite health, and you still want to act like this? This is not cool. It's just like, let's pop that bubble. We're over it.
Yeah, Novak's an interesting figure. And, you know, people are very quick when it's positive to say, you know, sport is a microcosm of society. But this is another microcosm of our society, right? And I don't believe in fairness. So Paolo, whilst I totally agree with everything you've said, I think, especially if you want to be in leadership, and this is the difference, right? Being rich doesn't mean you're a leader, by the way. Proper leadership sacrifices, you see the great people sacrifice. But I think another microcosm we're seeing here of the society we've built is that we do let gifted people, better looking people get away with more. This is where it's led us. Right. And, you know, we as the society often want to divorce ourselves when these things happen, particularly to powerful people, and they get away with it. What we've got to say, and this is why I get super annoyed when people go, ah, we've done the hard work. Now it's fine, man. There's 10% women CEOs. It's fine. What are you crying about? We've done the hard work. It's why you have to keep at it. You've got to keep at it in society, because the world's ills are always coming at you. You know, you've got to stay on it to say, no, you're not special because you're beautiful. No, you're not special because you're rich. No, you're not special because you're a gifted athlete. Having said that, the world is not a fair place. And again, we live in a capitalist society. We understand what's happening with Novak. It's about the money. Because already they've lost Rafa, they've lost Roger Federer, right? Novak Djokovic is the greatest tennis player of all time. Australia are not making an ethical decision. The Tennis Association has not made this about vaxxed, not vaxxed science. They've gone, what are Kia going to say if Zverev is the pinup boy? Who's Zverev? As I say, Zverev here, people are going, huh? I have to go Google him. Novak is the last one left. And there's another interesting side to this, right? If he wins, he's the first to get to double figures at the Aussie Open. There's another side to it. His next title, right, he leaves the others behind. So Australia want to be a part of that. There's a much bigger story here. And it's to say that, folks, politicians are up to nonsense. This has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with he's an equal human being. We want to be a part of history. And there's what? $200-300 million attached to the decision of having Novak Djokovic with us. So it's a super interesting place, and I think as we start the year off, perhaps it's a little too powerful, but it's a good time for us to reflect on ourselves as a society as we come out of the pandemic, hopefully over the next 18 to 24 months, to say, hey, we give people a special pass, and that's us. That we are that society. We've built this society. So
that's very true. And then we wonder, like, when they act out and they start abusing these, you know, these positions that we've put them in, and then we literally turn on them. It's the strangest thing, and I see it all the time. When people get cancelled, it's like, oh no, how dare Natasha Tahani ask for R1 million for education in New York? Guys, we've literally allowed her to believe that she's so in that box and so up there that she can do that without, you know, without even thinking twice. And then when she admits it and we call her out on it, we're shocked. And we must also start, like, taking responsibility for some of these things, like, as society as a whole. It's very tiring.
And I also just feel like cancel culture is not a real thing. It's like a 72-hour, like, time period. And then after that, everybody just forgets about it and moves on to the next. It's not a real thing. It's a scam. It's a social media scam, that one.
It's unsavory is what it is. And Novak, it doesn't have to be this way, pal. But all right, Novak, always the antagonist. Great, certainly. You can't deny. Listen, I don't want to deny Novak's greatness, but he's always been unsavory, which is why I think as soon as I said he's the greatest, I saw what LeBron's face did. Because Roger Federer is the guy we all want to believe in, right? Roger is that clean-cut hero. You know, and it's probably why Serena divides people. You know, she's got a bit of edge as well. She's got that Novak kind of edge of, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking, and I'm going to tell you now. Yeah, so, you know, that's what it is. Ann Turner says, what happened to personal choice? Would everybody agree to being microchipped? I don't think so. I am vaxxed by choice. No, and I understand that. But, and we also, you know what, it's difficult to sort of answer that one, because, and once you buy into living in a democratic society, you see, we do live in the age of the individualist, and modernity has done this to us, and people think they're a product of themselves because of themselves, and it's a product of something we call modernity, the modern age, is that, and one thing you have to realize, right, individual rights, and as we grow, in a democracy, only in a democracy, right, individual rights and public rights are constantly rubbing up against each other. So you can never have individual rights without the society having rights. And by the way, Anne, when we sacrifice, right, when we sacrifice individual rights, the public rights grow. When we shave away public rights, the individual right may go the other way, but the public will suffer. So there is always two wolves at play. You don't, unfortunately, Anne, the world doesn't work at, you can't be a grown up. And I hear this argument all the time. What about just my individual rights? That's not the only important thing in a conversation where we live among 7 billion people. In 1800, right, where there was, let's say, 400 million people or whatever there may have been, it's more interesting to say the right of the individual and me. But now I'm afraid, and I believe we are past just your individual rights. And I'll say this again. If we leave individuals, right, to themselves, people always resort to their worst excesses. That's why we need laws. Right. Without laws, the great Aristotle said, without laws, we are but animals. I'm afraid, Anne, individual rights must have limits. Otherwise, we know what people do. Because, look, I always use this simple example, and it might offend people. It is what it is. We've left the world to do what they want. Look at the obesity numbers. So that's just one part of life. We've left the world to do what they want, and now they sit on couches, and obesity and lifestyle diseases and anxiety are at an all-time high because people argue for individual rights. I'm afraid you live in a society. Individual rights are interesting, but I believe to a certain point. So, and fair enough, and I guess we have to all live the way we live. And you can't agree with everybody. Go ahead, Paula.
And MKT, just to, you know, and I think this Novak issue is talking about exceptional individuals and all the rest of it is not to be clouded and distracted by the vaccination issue, because that's invariably where it goes. I think it just it's this point of these guys who live in bubbles, because you're exceptional, you don't have to follow society rules. And it's how often we don't see high profile people get away with sexual harassment and rape and driving drunk and killing a kid. And it just gets swept under the carpet, never mind the corruption and the white collar stuff, right? But how many times we don't find high profile people, elite sportsmen in America, holding up banks, robbing people, tying people up. We're having a laugh about a footballer the other day who extorted money from someone for his friends, tied up a hostage and beat them up, and keeps getting away with it and keeps getting another chance and keeps getting redeemed. Kyrie Irving's going to walk into another $100 million contract. And we had an NFL footballer walk off the field. He's got a history of holding up people, beating up people, faking vaccination cards, but he'll keep getting another chance. And it's just when you're at the exceptional, your bad behavior gets rewarded. So this Djokovic issue is going, okay, yes, it's vaccine, but what next? If it goes, okay, well, you can act this way next time, and I'm not saying this is his once, but it's a, there's a sexual harassment thing, that'll get swept under the table. We've all got these ugly allegations around Ronaldo that don't go away. It just gets swept away and pushed away because you're exceptional. And it goes, well, you know, to your point, there is a society. There are rules we need to follow. Why are you allowed to break those rules because you happen to be able to hit a ball really hard?
Martel Mhlanga says, I disagree, Mbulelo. We all have a choice to get vaxxed or not. You certainly do. You certainly do. You also, you see, the right word, right? And choice. Choice is linked to right. Is that, sure, Martel, I'm totally with you. But you know what? People that often tell me, what about my personal rights? I always say, yes, but what about your personal responsibility? And they don't really like that conversation. You don't just get the rights. The rights are not given. They are earned. Well, this is something people need to learn. And even Socrates, I'm not some smart ass in 2020. Socrates spoke about 3,000 years ago. The right is earned. It is not to be given to you. This idea that I deserve my personal rights, we must get rid of that nonsense. It's why we live in the society we're in. You don't deserve your rights. You wake up every day and you earn those damn things, right? You are respectful in your society. You don't murder. This is what we do. You pitch up on time to things. Your rights are earned. Listen, folks, trust. Trust is a behavior. I'm sorry. Like, I don't trust people that tell me my human rights, I'm a good person. Are you? Like, are you, Novak? Let's see it.
I was just waiting. I was listening to President Mbulelo, like, unpack his, you know, manifesto and stuff. And then I just knew that he was going to throw in that you have to be on time for things. Like, that is your mantra of life. You know, Mbulelo, I must say, I'm in awe. I'm in awe of the things that you say sometimes, but this is good. This is good.
At least I live my message.
Bulela is very influential, actually, when it comes to time.
Influencer.
I've been noticing that when it comes as firstly, even the show, like in general, starts like on time. Ever since Mbulelo became a permanent feature, it starts roughly on time now. There's no more this thing of it can be 10 minutes late. Nah, on time. Even us, when we come to work, we're like, okay, I'm going to be at work at like a certain time. Like today, I subconsciously, I thought, hey, I'm going to be on today. Hey, I must be there at least 15 minutes early. Hey, net for control. Because I know how Mbulelo is. You know,
he's gonna call you out on it. He'll be subbing you.
You know, and I'm starting to see that it's a pattern with everybody that tends to be around him long enough. Like even the people he works with, like your James and everybody, they are now all. It's all about time for them now.
I think it's very beautiful because, like, you don't want to be influenced by people that are just sitting on their asses talking, right? You want to be influenced by something you can see. You want to be influenced by actual results and, like, you can believe it. Like, there it is. Mbulelo has chosen this path. He is this on-time freakazoid of nature, and it must be working for him because it seems like it is. And when you start to pick on that habit, I mean, things do get better for you. So I think it's nice, Mbulelo, that you're not necessarily sitting here just talking and telling us how to live our lives. You're also showing us, you know, that you are doing it and there's value in it and it's cool. And I also think we need more of that kind of influence, of the influence that is, you know, there's proof, not just sitting and posting on Instagram and saying, you know, this is what you should do. But, you know, anyway, kudos to you, bro. Shout out.
I'm also a time freak, right? So Mbulelo and I work well together. So I'm a time freak because I worked in radio. So in radio, if you're 30 seconds late, you're late. That's just how radio works. And I believe if you're not 15 minutes early, you're already late. So you need to be somewhere. If something starts at like 7, you need to be there 6:45. And the one day MKT and I met for like brunch. This is what we do. Fancy, wear Japanese shirts, we go for brunch.
Yeah.
And I thought he was late. And I was like, I got it. I got this guy, he's late. We're just sitting in other parts of the restaurant. We're just sitting on opposite sides behind a pillar. We couldn't see each other. So we had both arrived early to get a good place because it's a very busy spot, to get shade, everything. We had both arrived, found the perfect spot, separate to each other, thinking the other one's late.
Look at you guys.
I thought I got him, but I agree. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're already late.
Hey, listen, first of all, I was getting a little bit uncomfortable with all the compliments here. So live your message is all I'm saying. You got to live your message. That's all I'm saying. And it is what it is. Listen, I want to move on to something else because there's something incredible that happens at Cliff Central as we wrap up the show. And for those of you who are worried, where's Gareth? Where's his great hair? Is his hair still looking as fantastic as it looked last year? Is he still so tall as he was last year? Absolutely. You better believe it. And Gareth, you know, does he still have that porcelain skin? You better believe it. Gareth Cliff will be back next week. The show will be back, from the 10th to our 2-hour format. So we're back, to scheduled programming as you were on Tuesday. So the podcast will be back to 2 hours. Gareth and, the Staporas back on Monday. So just for those that are concerned, has the show been handed over? What's happened? Is this guy the Minotaur that was at Capitol Hill who just charged in and there was no security? Is he, maybe people think I'm the guy who burnt down the Cape Town Parliament building. That's not me. That's not me, fam. So Gareth back on Tuesday, and it's been awesome doing the takeover this week. But to finish off, I think there's only one place to finish off. The Cliff Central Hub is an electric place where the most electric things happen, are said, are done. And yesterday, for those who don't know, Simpiwe was beautifully dubbed as the Beyonce of a ragtag bunch of rebels who were kicked out of a New Year's party. But it turns out Simpiwe was the only one who got kicked out of this New Year's party. But in and amongst that was Khomolemo, and he was an element in that. And I don't think it's important what element, but he was there and in the mix. But the conversation led to a very interesting place. Is that we were saying, hey, Aaron, but you were, you know, so-and-so involved. And he said, hey, don't make your problems my problem. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to say. So, Aaron, is that one of your things? Like, don't make your problems my problem.
It's definitely one of the hills I'm definitely willing to die on. Especially if I genuinely believe that we, like Mbulelo, you and I, right? We've spoke, right? We probably had issues. We spoke about it. In that moment, we hashed things out. Then later on in life, you decide to bring up those problems again as you have, like, you're not over them. You're not in. Me, I genuinely feel like now those are your problems. Me and you, from what I know, we've hashed things out. It's become your problem and your problem alone. Angizingeni, andizi. I choose, I'm out. Don't involve me in your problem.
So
last I checked, when it was our problem, we hashed things out.
Yeah.
Now you're alone in this. It's a one-player game. It's you, GTA, one player. I'm not involved.
So, Paolo, let me use a hypothetical example, right? And I'd like to get your take because I think this is one everyone can relate to. So, Paolo, a family man, his family means the world to him. He's been, him and Lebang are the only people actually here who have an authority on being smart enough to not only get a partner, but also trick them into staying with them. That's actually the trick, is to be a good enough person to make the person stay, you know? So they are in relationships and fantastic, and they have families. But Paolo, imagine, let's say, me and a girl, and she likes me, and or vice versa, and then I say to her, all right, look, it's not working after two dates. But she still says, no, no, no. She's still talking to her friends like, oh, my heart's really with him, blah, 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 whatever. And then my movement is next, I pitch with my honey boo and in front of her. And I'm like, why are you getting emotional? What's your problem? You know, what do you think of that whole situation? You think that's right? Or you think people should just learn to move on?
Are we, who's who in this hypothetical?
What do you mean?
People should just move on. I mean, basically just in everything, people should just move on. Look, just get out of my chair bag and just move on.
It's simple.
Easier said than done. Guys, easier said than done. I mean, if we're being realistic, we've been in situations where we feel a way and if we get to that point of let's just, you know, get closure, we speak to one another, you say how you feel, I say how I feel, and it ends. Let's say we don't talk at all after that. If I bump into you again, I'm human. Those feelings could just all come back instantly, and then I'm back to square one. So that closure that we said we got maybe is scratched out, and maybe I was lying to myself because maybe I downplayed my feelings for you. There's various factors, but the point is, we're human, so I am going to feel some type of way if I do see you and perhaps I didn't get that closure. I completely agree, though. Move on, get over yourself, let it go. Easier said than done.
Because we've all been...
But now I repeat, that does still sound like a your problem, but not the other person's.
Fair enough. But we've all been in situations in a friendship group where all of a sudden we have a nice braai. You know, we get it. We on now. We're a little loose. You know, that 15th gin of the day because we started at 12. It's the pool situation. And now my man or my lady says, she reveals, I like this guy. But now we're a friendship circle. We're 15 years deep. We're all in. You like who? Like that. And then now it's an unrequited love. But that doesn't stop getting awkward. Does it? Like now now my man has a girlfriend and he brings her to the friendship circle and you know what's going to happen. Now the girl's crying at a braai. What's wrong? Or are you guys just saying move on?
I think things will always be awkward, but there are people out there and I promise you they exist who actually can do it. Like they can hang out with their exes and be best friends with people that they've hooked up with in the past. It's possible. Like it's real. We're not all, you know, idiots. There's people out there who are able to just honestly just move the fuck on and keep it moving because maybe in that moment that's just not the important thing. It's not everybody, but these people do exist. So I guess
why would you want to do that though? And I think that the level of nudity that has been shared is a crucial player here, right? I think if there's been a lot of nudity, you should never talk to each other again. Why would you want to to be a friend with an ex? And listen, I can't relate to any of this at all. Why would you want to be a friend with an ex? Because the question is always there, right? The question's always there. With your current partner, with everybody, it'll always be, you know, because things are hard enough as it is. Yeah. Oh, why'd they send you this? Oh, why'd you do this? Oh, why did you go here with them? Why put the question there? Why even have that in play?
No, I'm definitely with you, Paolo. Like for me, it's a no-brainer. There's absolutely nothing. Like the only reason why I would still even communicate with an ex is if we have a child together. But beyond that, we have nothing left to do. You are part of my life. That was the chapter. It is closed and I've moved on. But there are people who are like, oh yeah, I was with John yesterday. John is a new ex-boyfriend from high school. Yeah, you know, he's so great. He's like married now. We do play dates with our families. You know, I sit there and I'm just like, denial is also a river, but I...
Yeah, so Aaron says, I don't care if you love me. Get the hell out of my life and go deal with your feelings somewhere else. Huh, Aaron, that's you. Take your little... take your dumb heart and go put that in the trash.
Wow, that's hectic.
Extreme.
Have I gone too far?
That's a little extreme. But honestly,
that's your problem.
My chat will always be if we've spoken about this. I also feel like what's that term? Closure is a scam. Just what are you still looking for? Are you looking to, you know, like understand why we broke up? Sometimes it's okay. Just let it be. Yeah, God, just let it go, guys. Keep it moving.
We mustn't know how we got here. We must just assume for the rest of our lives.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you feel like you want to know, and then that person tells you, no, you were trash. The reason why we're here, you are trash. But now, because you don't want to take that, you don't want to believe that you were trash. You don't want to believe.
The problem.
But the thing is, nobody sees that they're the problem.
Itself is a problem.
So that's why we
need to be honest with each other. Imagine if we all walked around not taking accountability for our shit.
You see, the problem is that's how many people walk around. And
your friends walk around.
That's how people don't take accountability for their actions. Some do, some do, sure, but others don't. If you get told, you a trash person, you're going to take it some type of way. And now that closure is going to be worse than the actual breakup. So
you need to get told that, look, you're a shitty person so that you can self-reflect and stop being a shitty person. If somebody tells you that, dude, you're actually whack at this, it's not to insult you. It's probably to benefit you so you can stop that shitty thing and be a better version of yourself. It's not always personal. It's not always an insult. Sometimes it's coming from a place of love. If somebody you dated can tell you straight up that, dude, the reason why up is because you suck at this, that, take that information, fix yourself, improve yourself so that the next person you end with doesn't have to deal with the shitty I wouldn't take that to what I'd be like, oh no, this closure sucks so much. I'd be like, all right, cool, maybe I'd be a bit upset, but then eventually you start to realize that maybe I am the problem. You'll be a happier person if you look at things like that, in my opinion.
Well, there you have it. I think that's a good place to end the show off, because at cliffcentral.com, right? Get cliffcentral.com on Twitter. Do you agree with Aaron? If you have an unrequited love, should you just move on? Do you need to just take your stinking heart, take it down the road? Nobody cares. Go and find a pillow, a dark room, and cry by yourself. Or should people like Aaron lighten up a little bit? Should we be saying, what's happening? Why do you still feel that way? Have I not communicated to you that this is not an option enough? Because people hear things in a different way sometimes. Or should the world just move on? Like, screw you. Nobody deserves to be loved anyway. I found someone better. You're dumb. Move on. So cliffcentral.com, hit us up. Are you with Aaron on this one? Do people need to move on? Or maybe do we need to talk a little longer? I like this one. I think maybe a conversation for the future. Aaron, stay loved. Lebang, stay educated. Or look out for those Arch Lever files. They'll get you. Paolo, look out for Novak Djokovic, because he will circumvent the rules. And he's probably at your house putting his fingers in your chair bag. So look out for Novak Djokovic.
There's two people you don't mess with. The Australian government and Discovery. Every time. Devil dog, the police couldn't bust anybody. They tried to scan Discovery and show they got there. The Australian government and Discovery is the Australian government. If you want an insight into the Australian government with not working there, take out Discovery anything. Discovery is the Australian government. Don't mess with either of them.
Fantastic. And that is the place. That is the place to end the show. Homolimo, you're awesome. Lebang, you're awesome. Paolo, fantastic. Thank you for being with us. And for you at home, Gareth Cliff, back on Monday. We are back to the 2-hour format, and we kick the year off properly with the full team. Gareth back, everyone back, and it'll be great to have kids back at school tomorrow, and hopefully the brand new normal begins for us in 2022. Stay loved, and as I said earlier, give it a go this year with all of your might and all your soul. Get after it. For now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a fantastic weekend wherever you are in the world. But for now, the GCS is out. CliffCentral.com.